Tonight, the CW says no to a new Green Arrow show, She-Hulk will be funny, and we remember comic book artist Steve Lightly and others on the comic book edition of Multiverse tonight! Comic books, sci-fi, fantasy, and more. If you're looking for a roundup of geeky news, you're in the right place. This is Multiverse Tonight. And here's your host, Thomas Townley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 109 of Multiverse Tonight. I'm, of course, your host, Thomas Townley. And the first comic edition of 2021. And I'm so glad to be in 2021. 2020 was just too scary. Have you seen the commercial with, you know, 2020 meeting Satan? Yeah, that's a funny little commercial. Didn't do much over Christmas. Yeah, had a nice quiet Christmas, had a nice quiet New Year's. You know, pretty much, you know, nothing changes for me. I'm not big on Christmas. I would like to say happy birthday to my nephew. My nephew just turned 17. So, I gotta get his Christmas and birthday presents out. What can I say? I'm not a timely present giver. You know, I'll wait. You know, why be one of many presents at one time when you can be the one surprising present that shows up later? You know, think about that. Good thinking, huh? Anyway, you're not here to listen to me ramble on about, you know, nonsense. Let's go on and talk about the DC Comics news. Yeah, I'm out of practice. I can't talk. Now, DC Comics news starts with the production of Lucifer's sixth season going on despite having 13 positive cases of COVID. Variety reports that the production has racked up 13 cases since November. However, the positive cases are mostly isolated and have not been considered to be part of a larger cluster or outbreak. But, you know, again, a lot of shows right now are having, you know, start-stop issues with cases getting more active and cases getting up and down and up and down and up and down. So, needless to say, you know, when episodes come out and how episodes come out in 2021 will be an adventure. Green Arrow and the Canaries will not be picked up by the CW. Kind of odd, isn't it? The CW usually picks up anything DC, but nope, they said no this time. Variety broke the news that the series that would have starred Catherine McNamara as Maya Queen, the successor to Oliver Queen's Green Arrow, and would be joined by Kate Cassidy as Laurel Lance, aka the Black Siren, and Juliana Harkavy as Dinah Lance, aka Black Canary, will not go forward. Now, the show did have a backdoor pilot done in the penultimate episode of Arrow. Well, you know, maybe HBO Max could be the home for that. You know, they need original programming. There we go. That might get butts in seats, as it were. DC's animated Justice Society World War II has found its voice cast. According to exclusive to The Hollywood Reporter, the upcoming Justice Society World War II will feature an ensemble cast led by Stana Katic as Wonder Woman and Matt Boomer as The Flash. Now, joining them will be Eliza Rotaru as Black Canary, Chris Dimitopoulos as Steve Trevor, Omid Apti as Aquaman, as Hawkman, excuse me, Matthew Mercer as Hourman, Armin Taylor as Jay Garrick, Liam McIntyre as Aquaman, Ashley Lathrop as Iris West, Jeffrey Rend as Charles Halstead slash Advisor, Keith Ferguson as Dr. Fate, and Darren D. Paul as Roosevelt. I'm guessing that's President Roosevelt. Yeah. Now, that joins the multitude of movies, of D. Sandman movies, so it'll be nice to have another one. Now, it appears that there will be no sequel to the Birds of Prey movie. Now, this movie was released back in theaters at the beginning of the pandemic in February, so it's been about a year now. The movie was then quickly moved to HBO Max to try to give it a boost. However, Margot Robbie, in a recent interview, was asked if a sequel was planned, and she said, quote, "I don't know. Nothing imminent at this stage, nothing worth mentioning," unquote. However, that won't be the last we'll see of Margot's Harley Quinn, as the character will appear in James Gunn's The Suicide Squad. And again, that's no definite up or down of whether a Birds of Prey sequel is in the works, so, you know, take it for what it's worth. The next phase of the DC Comics universe is set to start in March with Infinite Frontier number 0. The comic is a 64-page one-shot with stories by Brian Michael Bendis, James Tynion IV, David Marquez, Aletha Martinez, George Jimenez, Philip Kennedy, Becky Cloonan, and more. Now, writer Joshua Williamson in a statement said, quote, "Infinite Frontier number 0 really feels like the beginning of a new era of DC Comics, a time when anything is possible." We're taking the aftermath of Dark Knight's death metal and combining it with the best things we love as storytellers about the DC Universe, resulting in bold, fun, and exciting new directions. There are a lot of teases to new storylines, surprises, and mysteries for the years set up in Infinite Frontier number 0 that you won't want to miss, unquote. Now, Infinite Frontier number 0 comes out in stores on March 2nd, 2021, and will cost $5.99 for the standard edition and $1 more for the cardstock variant. Now, speaking of new, The Flash will have an all-new creative team beginning with issue number 768. Jeremy Adams will write and Brandon Peterson will take over on artist duties. The first story arc will see Wally West fighting for redemption following the events of Heroes in Crisis and Dark Knight's death metal. Adams said in a press release, quote, "There's some dispute about who would win in a race against Wally and Barry. But let's just say it's a question that starts this new adventure. I've tried to pour all my excess enthusiasm into writing a story that explores some of the crazy sci-fi elements that Flash books are known for," unquote. Now, the book will hit shelves on March 16th, excuse me. DC has also announced a brand new creative team for Nightwing. Tom Taylor will be taking over on writing, and Bruno Redondo will take over on art. The new arc will see Bloodhaven with a new mayor Zuko and Nightwing asking for Batgirl's help investigating the new mayor. Dick also has a new three-legged puppy that he rescues while on patrol one night. Nightwing number 78 will be out on March 16th. Wonder Woman 1984 director Patty Jenkins told the Happy Sad Confused podcast that she almost walked away from the film over a pay dispute. She told them, quote, "I started to walk away. I was going to walk away. I even said I'd be happy to go to another studio and make a quarter as much because it's not a sequel on principle, no problem. It's interesting, as someone who never made any profit in my career up until Wonder Woman, that I was always at peace with it. I was like, hey, I get it. But now I was like, listen, I never made any money in my career because you always had the leverage and I didn't. But now the shoe is on the other foot, so it's time to turn the tables. I don't want to talk about a quota system that's boxed me out, and it's not even true. It was easy to find that all of the men not just had quotes, their quotas, they'd make an independent film and then a first superhero movie. They got paid 7 times more than me for the first superhero movie. Then on the second one, they got paid more than me still. It was an easy fight to say, this can't be. It's super can't be. And it really can't be on Wonder Woman. It was an interesting thing to do, but it was an easy thing to do. In fact, I was dead serious. Then I was like, if I can't be victorious in this regard, then I'm letting everyone down. If not me, who? So it became something I became very, very, very passionate about. Unquote. Now, speaking of Wonder Woman 1984, the United Kingdom and Ireland will be able to see it via video on demand starting on January 13th. This comes after theaters in the country have been closed due to a new rise in COVID virus infections. Now, Warner Brothers, in a statement, said, quote, after much anticipation, Wonder Woman 1984 is now out of cinemas in the UK and Ireland. In recognition of varying current market restrictions and to service the massive fan interest in Wonder Woman 1984, this film can be enjoyed by fans and families on the big screen were available in cinemas now, and in the comfort of their own home through premium video on demand in the UK and Ireland starting on January 13th. The film will also be available in cinemas where they are open, whilst also being able to watch at home for a 48-hour rental from participating digital retailers, unquote. Wonder Woman's Gal Gadot has her own thoughts on where the new Wonder Woman should go, and that on the next Wonder Woman movie, and that would be into the present day. She told MTV News, quote, I wouldn't go like to the 60s or to the 40s with Wonder Woman. I feel like the past has been handled. Well, now it's time to move on, unquote. Zack Snyder has effectively said there will be no encores for Justice League. Director Zack Snyder, discussing his Snyder Cut of the Justice League, was asked if he had any plans for further DCEU movies. He told the host, quote, look, I never thought I'd be here doing this. I don't think I'd be finishing Justice League. The truth is, and it's been widely reported, I have no issue. This is an old movie. This is a years-old movie I'm working on. The DC Universe has gone off and branched off and done its own thing, and that's fine. As far as what I did, and as far as what my vision for what I wanted to do with these characters and the journey I wanted them to go on, it's well known that I planned on more movies, 5 movies or something. But I'm busy. I've got a lot going on. It is cool that the fans have so much faith in the trajectory. Yes, it's amazing. And I couldn't be happier, and I'm excited for them to see Justice League so they can really drink the entire elixir of Justice League. But will I continue? I have no plan to. But like I said, I didn't think I'd be here, so who knows? Unquote. So I guess that means, you know, if they want him to do more there, they just better back up the dump truck full of money straight to the house, you know, open up the cellar, you know, have his own little money bin if you want more. Now, speaking of dump trucks full of money, a new report from Bloomberg indicates that Warner Brothers is trying to do good by their filmmakers. Now, they're altering their contracts with partners so they can guarantee payments that aren't contingent on box office numbers. Now, the deal is also said to increase the odds for performance-based big bonuses and give cast and crew members additional pay based on revenue collected from HBO Max. Bloomberg reports that the Warner Brothers new deal would give anyone their bonus at half of the normal box office totals needed. So if a movie, say, needed to make $300 million for that bonus, now it would just take $150 million. Adam Raber will be taking the role of media tycoon Morgan Edge on the CW's Superman and Lewis. The character is described as, quote, an intelligent, eloquent, and impassioned self-made mogul whose innate ability to motivate is the means to his success and others' demise, unquote. Now, Rayner's previous TV credits include ABC's The Fix and Notorious. DC Movie Music is going vinyl with a new partnership between Mondo and Warner Brothers Water Tower Music. First up is Rupert Greeson's and Williams' score for 2018 Aquaman. The 3-disc deluxe vinyl release will feature the complete musical score as well as a disc of bonus tracks and remixes. The music will be pressed on 180-gram translucent colored vinyl with splatter. The disc will be packed in a trim fold jacket featuring all new original artwork from Pascal Blanc. This release will soon be followed by releases for the Shazam film score, the Doom Patrol Season 1 and Season 2 soundtrack, and a reissue of 1978's Superman the Movie soundtrack. The Aquaman soundtrack will be released this February for $45. And that will bring us to the end of the DC News and on to the Marvel News.
This episode is powered by Poddex. Poddex are unique interview questions and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and have more meaningful conversations, you're going to want to check out Poddex. Now, if you want to get 10% off your order right now, you can go to poddex.com and type in coupon code
Multiverse.
What's the code?
Multiverse.
Yes, that's the code. Check out poddex.com. Take your podcast to the next level.
I'd like to thank Poddex for that. That little pause for me to refresh myself. And we'll start the Marvel news. On January 6th, the United States Capitol building was attacked by a mob of angry Trump voters after being goaded to do so by the soon-to-be former President of the United States. A number of those rioters that attacked the U.S. Capitol building on January 6th were wearing the skull logo commonly worn by Marvel's The Punisher, which not only would the character not approve of it, but the Punisher writer Garth Ennis doesn't either. Now, speaking with Sci-Fi Wire, Ennis told them, quote, "I've seen this before a couple of times, but no one actually wants to be the Punisher. Nobody wants to pull 3 hours of duty in a combat zone with the last one going catastrophically wrong, come home with a head full of broken glass, see their families machine gunned into bloody offal in front of their eyes, and then dedicate the rest of their lives to cold, bleak, heartless slaughter. The people wearing the logo in this context are kidding themselves, just like the police officers who wore it over the summer. What they actually want to wear, an appropriately scary symbol on the t-shirt, throw their weight around a bit, then go home to the wife and kids and resume everyday life. They've thought no harder about the Punisher symbol than the half-wits I saw on Wednesday, the ones waving the stars and stripes while invading the Capitol building," unquote. You know, perhaps it's time for the Punisher to change his outfit, get a new symbol. You know, maybe we should retire this. You know, if that symbol is starting to be associated with hate, then maybe we should put it on a shelf somewhere. Just saying. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox for a minute. Deadpool 3 has been confirmed, and it will be a part of the MCU and R-rated. The news came from an interview with Kevin Feige on Collider. The MCU maker said, quote, "It will be rated R, and we are working on a script right now, and Ryan's overseeing a script right now," unquote. The Ryan he's talking about is, of course, Ryan Reynolds. However, don't expect lightning progress to the sequel, as he also said that the movie won't be underway this year, and that they want to get Deadpool's entry to the MCU just right. Eternals director Chloe Zhao has done much more than direct the movie. She has also written the script. In a promo for her Nomadland film, she said, quote, "I am the writer of the Eternals. The credits just aren't updated yet. I don't know what it would be like if I don't write the films I direct. In the writing process is where I bring in my sensibility. That's a huge part of it. I'm creating situations that will allow certain cinematic language to come in that I've learned on my last three films," unquote. Now, Eternals comes out this November in 2021 and stars Angelina Jolie, Kumail Nanjiani, Selma Hayek, and many more. WandaVision will be a 9-episode series according to Marvel Studios. In a press release, they said, quote, "Marvel Studios' WandaVision is a blend of classic television and the Marvel Cinematic Universe in which Wanda Maximoff and Vision, two superpowered beings living idealized suburban lives, begin to suspect that everything is not as it seems. they said, Marvel said in a press release on Monday. The series is directed by Matt Shockman with Jacques Schaffer as head writer. Composer is Christopher Beck, and the theme for certain episodes is by Christian Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez. Now, featuring 9 episodes, WandaVision kicks off on Disney Plus on January 15th, 2021, unquote. I'm so looking forward to that, because that show just looks, yeah, awesome. Now, another question to ask is, could this be the start of a run of Marvel sitcoms? At a press conference for WandaVision, Kevin Feige said, quote, "We'll see. This was our test run. Marvel has had a lot of good, successful TV in the past. This was Marvel Studios' first foray. The idea always was, yes, to do something that could not be done as a feature that plays with the format and plays with the medium. There were a lot of meetings before everyone understood what we were trying to go for. We're able to turn a wacky idea into a wackier show. It worked out perfectly that this is the debut of it on Disney Plus for the MCU." Unquote. Now, they also approached the shooting of the show as a kind of Twilight Zone episode, according to director Matt Shockman. She-Hulk will be much more like Peter David's run on the comic series. The series will be a half-hour legal comedy, according to Kevin Feige, the first for the Marvel brand. The show might also have more than 6 episodes that have been previously announced, because on Instagram, She-Hulk director Kat Quaro confirmed that she would direct and execs produce the pilot, the season finale, and 4 other episodes. So that brings us to 6, but fellow director Anu Vayali, in a separate post, said that she's doing a few episodes, which suggests closer to the 8 to 10 episodes run suggested by Kevin Feige for a Marvel Studios series. So before we go out of the Marvel news here, let's take a quick rundown of the Marvel MCU shows and movies that are set to come out this year. First off is WandaVision on January 15th. The 6-episode Falcon and the Winter Soldier miniseries will hit on March 19th. The long-delayed Black Widow movie should finally debut on May 7th. Loki will hit Disney Plus in May. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is due to come out on July 9th. The What If series comes out sometime during the summer. Eternals is due out on November 5th. The Ms. Marvel series, the Hawkeye series, are due out at the end of the year, and the 3rd Spider-Man movie should arrive on December 17th. So, here's hoping that all that comes true. Now, let's finish the show with some good old-fashioned geek news. And unfortunately, this is going to be a sad run of geek news. We start with the passing of animator of Beavis and Butthead and Heavy Metal, Doug Crane. Doug was a Clio Award-winning animator who had a 6-decade-long career in animation. He began animating in the 60s with such shows as The Mighty Hercules, Deputy Dog, Mighty Thor, and Spider-Man. He would go on to work on Challenge of the Super Friends, Godzilla, The Smurfs, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, She-Ra, Princess of Power, Brave Star, Fish Police, The Pirates of Dark Water, and a ton of other shows. He also was a professor of animation at the School of Fine Arts for 15 years. He is survived by his 7 children and 15 grandchildren. Doug Crane passed away after a short battle with cancer. He was 85 years old. Also, tonight, we remember animator and storyboard director Tuck Tucker, who has also passed away. He started in animation at a young age, eventually moving to L.A. to pursue a career in animation. He started as a breakdown artist on the 1987 movie Pinocchio and the Emperor of the Night. Now, when Doug Crane, who we just mentioned, was also an animator on, he would go on to work on ALF, the TV series, Brave Star, The Simpsons, Rugrats, Ren and Stimpy, Two Stupid Dogs, Ah, Real Monsters, Duckman, Hey Arnold, SpongeBob SquarePants, Family Guy, The Fairly Odd Parents, Jimmy Neutron, and a ton of other shows. He also worked on animated movies like Disney's The Little Princess, Hey Arnold the movie, the SpongeBob SquarePants movie, the Bob's Burgers movie, which is due in theaters this year. He also taught graphic and animation design in 2015 at the Longwood University in Farmville, Virginia. In a tribute to Tuck, Hey Arnold creator Craig Bartlett wrote on Instagram, quote, "A great friend, a master draftsman, a tireless practical joker, a brilliant storyteller. The one I reached out to when I began Hey Arnold, because he was the best board guy I had ever met. I'll always remember him at his drawing board, arms blackened to the elbows with graphite, eraser shavings everywhere, bringing my character's life. A killer work ethic, passionately into it. I'm so lucky I got to work with him for so many years." Unquote. Tuck Tucker passed away on December 22nd. He was 59 years old. And from that tragedy to what might be another tragedy, I don't know how I feel about this next story. They're working on a Rubik's Cube movie. Yep. Hyde Park Entertainment Group and Endeavor Content are teaming up for this toy-based movie. Graham Taylor and Chris Rice, co-presidents of Endeavor Content, said in the announcement, quote, "The Rubik's Cube is an iconic and family-friendly brand. In partnership with Hyde Park, we're looking forward to creating film television, the game show content for global audiences." And, unquote. Now, yeah, I don't know how to feel about this, really. Me, I'm just waiting for Tiddlywinks, the movie. So, I guess to each their own. Warner Brothers has given dates to three new movies for 2023. That's a theatrical release, not HBO Max, by the way. First, the Mad Max prequel Furiosa will come out on June 23rd, 2023. The Warner Brothers animated / live action movie Coyote vs. Acme releases on July 21st, 2023, and the musical version of The Color Purple rolls out on December 20th, 2023. Now, Furiosa will star Anna Taylor-Joy in the title role alongside Chris Hemsworth and Abdul-Mateen II. Coyote vs. Acme will see the Roadrunner's nemesis, the Coyote, taking on the Acme Corporation in a screenplay by James Gunn, Jeremy Slater, John Silberman, and Josh Silberman, and Sammy Birch. The Color Purple is, well, just as it is, a feature film version of the Tony-winning Broadway musical of the film by Steven Spielberg, which was based on the book by Alice Walker. The sequel to DreamWorks' The Boss Baby has been postponed. The Boss Baby Family Business is set to open on March 26, 2021, but will now come out on September 17, 2021. Now, that has kind of unseated DreamWorks animated movie Bad Guys, which will probably be moved to sometime in 2022. Actress Marion Ramsey has passed away. Marion might be best known for her character of Laverne Hooks in the Police Academy movies. Marion's career first began with guest star appearances on The Jeffersons in 1976. She also had a role on the 90s Addams Family Saturday morning cartoon show as D.I. Holler. She has also appeared on the Sci-Fi Channel's bad movie Lavalantula and its sequel To Lava to Lantula. She was 73 years old. And finally, or not finally, comic book artist Steve Lightly has passed away. The artist of such DC comics as Legion of Superheroes and Doom Patrol passed away on January 8th from cardiac arrest. Steve was a Kansas native and began his professional work in 1984 with a 5-page story in Black Diamond No. 4 from AC Comics. He then got work from DC Comics, his first 10-page story in New Talent Showcase No. 4, his work on Legion of Superheroes saw the death of Karate Kid, and the creation of two new characters, Tellus and Quinslet. All in all, his work ranges for over 40 issues of AC, DC, and Marvel Comics from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. DC put a statement on Twitter saying, quote, were heartbroken by the passing of artist Steve Lightly. Not only did his work influence artists, writers, and readers, but those of us who were lucky enough to meet him had the added joy of finding out he was one of the kindest souls in comics. He will be deeply missed. Unquote. We also, he passed away from cardiac arrest brought on by COVID-19. And artist, actor John Reilly has passed away. John was born in 1936 and began his acting career in 1966, acting in an episode of A Man Called Shenandoah. Though mainly a soap opera actor, he acted on such shows as The World Turns, General Hospital, and Passions. He also appeared in Kojak, Wonder Woman, The Incredible Hulk, The Love Boat, Quincy M.E., The Powers of Matthew Starr, Silver Spoons, and The Bionic Woman, and other shows of the 80s and 90s, and also provided the voice of Hawkeye in the 1994 Iron Man cartoon series. There's no word on how he died. John Reilly passed away at 84. And finally, Bob's Burgers lead creator, character designer, Dave Creek, has died after a skydiving accident. Dave worked on Bob's Burgers since the show's start in 2011, and has also worked on animated series Central Park and Brickleberry, and the Peanuts special Happiness is a Warm Blanket, Charlie Brown. In a statement, 20th Television, Fox Entertainment, and Bento Box Entertainment said, "We are heartbroken at the tragic passing of Dave Creek, an extraordinary artist who has been with Bob's Burgers from day one. He is not just an incredible talent, but a beautiful person as well, and our hearts go out to his family, friends, all his colleagues at the show who loved him and are grieving today." Unquote. Now, details about the accident haven't been forthcoming. He was 42 years old. And that brings us to the end of the comic book news. Be sure to check us out on social media. We're at Twitter at Multiverse Tom. We're also on Facebook and Instagram as well. And if you'd like to contribute some money to the show, please visit mtpodcast.com to go to the Ko-fi, Patreon, and glow.fm links as well, or go over to multiversetonight.com and hit the support me link at the top of the page, and be sure to check out the marketplace links, the link to the TeePublic store, our show notes, and so much more. And if you're a subscriber, please be sure to share it with your friends, and if you're brand new to the show, Please be sure to subscribe and give me some feedback. Let us know how we're doing. Now, special thanks to Shane Ivers for the intro music and Lobo Loco for the outro theme music. Now, please, I thank you for watching the comic book edition of Multiverse Tonight. We'll be back in just 2 weeks with a brand new sci-fi edition and a brand new comic book edition. Now please exit the universe in an orderly fashion. Good night. Multiverse Tonight is a production of Half Big Genre Productions. Copyright 2021. All rights reserved.
Are you itching for a good story? Laughter among friends, maybe even a mystery or two? Well, you're in luck. Firebreathing Kittens is a standalone Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Each episode is a separate 3-hour-long story, like a movie for your ears, so you can listen to these adventures in any order you like. So join us on a real play D&D quest as we solve mysteries, attempt comedic banter, and enjoy friendship. Firebreathing Kittens podcast. Fantasy, action, mystery.